The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another hot stove edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. We are doing our second installment of the Major League Baseball Trade Rumors Top 50 Projections List. On the previous episode, we did 41 through 50, so on this one, we'll do 31 through 40, kind of working through it. Different crew tonight. Charlie Smith, Nick Diamond. How are you, gentlemen?
Doing great. Yep. Really happy to be on. It's been a minute.
Same here.
Do you want to get divorced yet, Charlie? Come on.
No, not at all, man. I just got back from Bora Bora, and my back, I look like I have a skin ailment. It's actually pretty gnarly.
Where is Bora Bora? I've heard of it.
It is east of Australia. It is an eight to nine hour flight southwest of Los Angeles, California.
Okay.
Yep. It's gorgeous. I'll send you some photos so you can see, or you could Google it, but it's the bluest water you'll ever see. I know that our fans can't see it, but that water right there, to give you like an idea, it just goes back 500 feet. And you get to swim with sharks and fish that you probably would never have ever thought would be possible, but sharks don't really care. They really couldn't care less. So that right there,
yeah,
shark would just go right between your feet.
No,
well, that's the thing. They're not interested. So amazing time, and no, I do not want to get divorced. I'm enjoying marriage very much. Thanks so much.
That's a long time to spend together, though. Two long flights, too, by the sound of it.
It was one long flight to LA. Yeah.
My girlfriend is so stressful to travel with. I don't know what it is, but most of my traveling is by myself, but to tournaments and whatnot. But yeah. All right. So I guess just an observation before we do get started, like nobody's coming off the board and it's about to be December. So it looks like the Soto move is probably holding things up. You know, the Teoscars aren't going to come off until that move happens. And maybe people are waiting for the Sasaki thing to play out. I mean, usually you should have some lower to mid-level pitchers, you know, coming off the board pretty steadily now, but that's not happening. So it's a very slow market.
I think the same thing happened last year. Otani set the market, and I think the same thing's going to happen with Juan Soto. Nothing's going to happen until Soto signs. Yeah. So we're going to wait to the winter meetings, I think.
Most likely, yeah. That seems to be when those type of deals go down. So, all right, well, we'll get into our list. Not the sexiest name to start this off, but Andrew Kittredge is a reliever. Spent most of his career with the Tampa Bay Rays. Trade rumors projects him to get a 2-year, $14 million deal, so seven per. Their writers have him going to the Athletics, Twins, Blue Jays, and Rangers. So let's start off by, is he a fit for the Red Sox or not interested? Charlie, go.
I would say not interested, just based on the fact that he's got some injury problems already. He's had injury problems over the last couple of years. This is his first year not playing in Tampa Bay. And if you look at the numbers, they're actually not too bad. He did go 5-5. He had a 2.8 ERA, struck out 67 in 70 innings. He does give up a fair bit of home runs, which is a little bit of a concern. But when you look back at what he dealt with and what he did, the first 2 months of the year, he was absolutely on fire. Then in May, he fell apart and then started coming back to reality. And the way that it works is people remember you for how you finish up the season. And in his last 15 innings, he gave up 2 earned runs, one of which was a solo shot. He went 3-1 with 5 holds with a 1.2 ERA. Now, we already have a kind of like status of being one of the teams that likes to sign these relievers that are not 25 to 30, but rather 35 to 40, that being Kenley Jansen and Chris Martin. And we've already done the rehab project with a couple of other guys, that being Lucas Giolito. And we've done it with James Paxton in the past as well. And it hasn't really worked out wonders for us. And that's just pitching. Forget about hitting. So naturally, I would say right now, if we're going to try to get a reliever, I'd want to get probably someone in the closer rating. And I don't see Kittredge being a closer in any way, shape, or form. Not right now. We have a couple of other options right now in the pen. I don't think that the Sox are going to get Kittredge, and neither do any of the writers. So we're all aligned there.
Nick, thoughts on Kittredge?
Yeah, I want no part of him. Just the injury history. He's just not good enough. If you're going to go spend big money on a reliever, I want him to be left-handed first off. We don't have a good left-handed reliever. And I want him to be better than Kittredge. I mean, everybody points to Tanner Scott, but that's probably out of the price range where I think Breslow is going to go spend on a big name reliever. But you need a lefty. Like, if you're going to go spend money on a reliever, why is it a right-handed reliever that's going to slot below, hopefully, Whitlock? Like, Whitlock needs to be out there. I'd much rather have him out there than Andrew Kittredge. So yeah, I don't think he's a fit. I don't think he will be coming to the Red Sox, and obviously no one in this article thinks he will be going to the Red Sox. I could kind of see him going to the Twins, like Twins or Blue Jays, like a team that needs mid-roll relief, and then maybe they can trade him at the deadline if they fall out of it. So I think that's what kind of team that will sign him.
You guys don't want Jolly Rodriguez, though? Lefty.
That's not a real question. I know that's not a real question. I know we're not going to pay that one here.
Charlie's
I'd rather have Cam Boozer.
Charlie's a big Jolly guy. Yeah. Huge. So I don't have a ton to add. He's going to be 35 years old. The lack of health doesn't really justify a 2-year deal, let alone one. So hard pass on him. And just so everyone knows, I mean, we did kind of cover it in the last episode. You got Justin Slayton, possibly a future closer, probably not for 2025, but he does have that makeup. Whitlock and Liam Hendricks. So you do need an insurance policy here. But again, Kittredge does not fit the bill. Let's move on. Number 39 on the list. Kind of an interesting candidate from a relief standpoint. Michael Soroka, once a highly regarded prospect in the Braves system, finished the year with, he pitched last year with the White Sox. Also has an injury history too, Charlie. He's projected to get the same contract, 2 years, $14 million. The writers have him going to the Astros, Brewers, and two of them actually have him going to the Dodgers. So they think some big market teams are going to be interested. Should the Red Sox be interested?
No. And we talked about the injury problem already. I mean, this is a guy who missed 2 full seasons. He had a ridiculous year 5 years ago where he was highly touted. He had 13 wins that year, sub-3 ERA, was absolutely electric. Since 2019, he's got 2 wins. So 5 years, 2 wins, 0.4 wins a season. And you're going to try to justify $14 million for 2 years? I don't think so. So his days of being a starter, I think, are done. His days of being a long reliever, I think, are just about to begin. Because you're seeing him go 2 innings, 2 1/3 innings, 3 innings. And that could be great for a team that needs that back-end guy or maybe starter for, you know, every 6th game or something like that, to go 2 innings, 3 innings, something like that. He can do it. As you can see on the article, they're talking about his 4-inning appearance against the Yankees. He struck out 7, allowed 2 hits, scattered 4 walks in that appearance. And that was kind of the beginning of his ERA starting to come back down. But I don't trust somebody like that, especially since we already have a reliever slash starter in Garrett Whitlock that's probably already going to be on the shelf for 80 days on the season. So I don't need another guy where we're going to be spending $7 million who's not going to be pitching. So I could see him going to the Dodgers because they've got their own issues with the bullpen and they can probably afford to say, you know, most teams are probably going to have to give you 2 years and $14 million, but if you want to win a World Series, this is what it's going to take. And somebody like that would probably sign like a 1 year player option, you know, 8-6 or 6-8 or something like that, or even maybe less money if it's the Dodgers. But I don't think the Red Sox have the ability of saying, hey, do you want to come win and come to Boston? Because we haven't been a destination city in years. And adding Mike Soroka to the team is great if you're going to say that's the beginning of the plan, but you can't add somebody like that and say, okay, we've addressed our pitching situation, because that doesn't move the needle in any way, shape or form. The guy went, he didn't even win a game this year, you know? So this guy went 0-10 with Chicago. Very few people won games in Chicago, but this is a guy that just, you need more. This is he's going to be how old next year?
28.
28 years old, and he's had one full season in the bigs. I'm passing.
Nick.
I want nothing to do with Michael Soroka. I think somebody here said they wanted him to go to the Brewers, or they think he could go to the Brewers. I think that's a perfect destination for him. A team that likes to start an opener and have that long man go after. I think that's the kind of team that needs to sign a guy like Michael Soroka, but the Red Sox have no use for him. Like Charlie said, they have a guy like Garrett Whitlock who does probably the same thing but better, but they have the same issue that is they both can't stay on the field. So why sign another one, you know? I have no interest in him at all. I don't even think he's that good.
Well, two observations from me. Number one, it's crazy that MLB Trade Rumors has him getting a 2-year deal. I mean, the dude can't get through one without a major injury. He's blown out his Achilles twice. That's one of the worst injuries you can have outside of Tommy John. And, you know, just not a healthy guy. So I don't know which team's going to take more than a chance, you know, a 1-year deal on him and take a big risk like that. Having said that, I think there are going to be plenty of teams that want him for 1 year. He had a strikeout per nine of 9.5, so he can definitely punch guys out. He does have a problem with walks, though. Has a 5.0 walk per nine, so that's pretty high. But as you guys said, sometimes it's how you end the season. And in his last 20 innings, he only gave up 3 earned runs. So seemed to have something figured out there, closed the year strong. Somebody will take a chance on him, but I don't see why the Red Sox should. Liam Hendricks is already a massive wild card in our bullpen. So you don't want to have two wild card type players. So I hope the best for Soroka. Like I said, he was once highly touted, and, you know, he's 27. I mean, he still has time, but, you know, he's going to have to put it together probably more sooner than later, and hopefully not with the Red Sox. Sticking with the reliever theme of this show, coming in at number 38 is Kirby Yates, who is in his late 30s, if I'm not mistaken. He's projected to get a 1-year, $14 million deal. The writers have him going to the Yankees, Phillies, and two of them have him going with Toronto. Charlie, thoughts on Kirby Yates?
No, thank you. Pass. This guy's already had injuries as well. He's already 38 years old. We have too many guys that are closer to 40, you know, than 30. And I'm good. He's not going to match his numbers from last year. And as the article points out, some of the comps that they're giving, he did better than they did. They signed $10 million deals, just 1 year prove it's, I have no need to give 10, 11, 12 million to a guy that could potentially be injured, be done for his career. I don't need to see James Paxton 2.0. I'm good. Pass.
Nick.
Yeah, same thing here. Kirby Yates had an incredible season last year, but I'm not giving him $14 million. Absolutely not. He could throw one pitch and his career is over. Like Charlie said, he's already had multiple arm injuries. Like, this guy has like three awful seasons and has an incredible season. It's just, he's due for a bad one. So that's how he's been his whole career. And I just don't want him on this team. It's not worth it. Spend money other places.
I like Kirby Yates. He's not a lefty like we kind of need, but man, a 1.17 ERA last year, a strikeout per nine of 12.4, off the charts, finished eighth in the Cy Young voting. I probably would, just because we don't have a sure thing, and I don't see why he wouldn't, you know, put it together. He's got a freshly rebuilt elbow. And, you know, he's older, and I've never seen a relief market like this with this many old guys that are somewhat viable. And, you know, we can agree or disagree whether he's viable for us or not, but I probably would take him, you know, on a 1 year deal. I don't know. I mean, he had some good years in San Diego, and you know, 2023 wasn't terrible in Atlanta. 60 innings, 3.28 ERA, but this guy punches guys out, and you're hoping Whitlock gets back to that, because he was a punch out relief guy in 21. It's forever ago, it seems like, at this point. But Slayton, you're hoping that the ceiling is higher than what you saw this past year, and I think it is. So he's a guy that can punch guys out as well. But I would take Yates.
One thing I would say too is that you mentioned he had a couple good years in San Diego. Fair, that's fine. And then flamed out, and then missed a whole season. Came back, was even worse. And then kind of settled down in his second year in Atlanta. First year in Texas, has the lowest ERA he's ever had, and that's by 0.02, 200ths. That's it. He's had, in those two crazy years, 74 saves, 21 saves outside that in 9 years. I just can't get behind that kind of money for someone that's not consistent. It's like the same issue with some other guys that we have. We just don't need another question mark. We have so many other reasons to be upset and annoyed. This doesn't need to be another one.
That's fair.
I agree. I think he's going to be on the IL by like May.
May.
Really?
Yeah. It's just not worth it. I think it's just too risky. If you're going to give $14 million to a reliever, I'd rather go give Tanner Scott $18 million a year. Like, it's not that much.
I wouldn't go that high, but I'd love to get Tanner Scott.
I mean, if you got to do it, you got to do it. I'd rather get the better player.
Well, I mean, yeah. It would be a multi-year deal for Scott, but I think we would all do it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, he's pitched just over 60 innings the last couple of years. I feel okay about that.
I'd rather have Kirby Yates than the last two guys we just talked about.
Yeah. And quite frankly, I mean, even going back through the last show, we covered some relief guys. I would take him. Oh, he's my favorite on the list so far. But yeah, we can agree to disagree on these guys. Next, coming in at 30, this is an interesting one. This is a very interesting one. Coming in at 30, number 37 is Walker Buehler. He's projected to get just a 1 year, $15 million deal, kind of a prove it year. I disagree with that projection after his postseason run. I think he could get a multi-year deal here, and we'll see what happens. But Charlie, Any interest in Bueller?
Absolutely. I mean, I got to spend a lot of time in La La Land watching the Dodgers win the World Series, the team that I predicted would win it after the high-octane team that they had all season long. I mean, that was just an absolute locomotive. There was no glaring holes. And even when Walker Bueller went down again and came back, they trusted Walker Bueller to come out and finish the job 2 days after he went 5+. So Bueller is going to earn himself the same kind of deal that Nate Eovaldi got. Maybe not quite 4 years and $68 million, but I wouldn't be surprised if a team goes 3-42 or 3-39 or 2-1 and goes, you know, maybe 230 and then an option year, 228 and an option year. The guy's going to get paid. I would love to have him in Boston. I see us having a lot worse options, ipso facto, those three names that we just mentioned before. And of the four people that we'd want, I would 100% put my eggs all in the Walker Bueller basket so far. Yes, he has injury problems, but man, when he's on, he's absolutely on. He had a couple of blips during the regular season. I judge that a little bit differently as a starter, because when he came into the postseason, he shut out the Mets and he shut out the Yankees and then shut them up in game five. So, yeah, man, I would absolutely give him a 2-3 year deal.
Nick, thoughts on Bueller?
I would have given Walker Bueller the qualifying offer. So obviously I'd give him 15 mil for 1 year.
He would take the qualifying offer.
Yeah.
He would 100% take that. Absolutely.
I'd rather have given Walker Bueller the qualifying offer than Nick Pivetta. And I don't think Walker Bueller would have taken it if Nick Pivetta didn't take it. So I think he's going to get like 3 or 4 years. I really do. And I don't think it's going to be for the Red Sox. I think in like June or like July or August, if you asked me, I think he would have been a perfect fit for the Red Sox, because I thought he would have gotten a 1 year, $15 million deal. So now I don't think it's realistic. I think he's going to go to a team that's going to give him a big time deal, you know, maybe like the Mets or the Tigers or something. I don't know. But I think somebody's going to give him a deal that's like $64 to $80 million. I think he's going to get a lot of money.
What was the deal that Eovaldi got? Wasn't it 4 for $68 or was it 4 for $64?
I think it was less.
Because it was 4 years.
No, with us.
It was 16 per. So it's 4.64, right?
68, 17 per. Okay. But yeah.
Right, so there you go. He got 4.68 for, didn't he pitch? Wasn't it 8 innings of relief or was it 7 innings of relief?
I think it was like 6. It was a lot though.
But it was against the Dodgers, the best team in the World Series, and it was the most epic relief appearance in World Series history that I can remember. I mean, it was absolutely amazing. And again, following the trend of people will pay you based on what your last memory was. That memory of 6 innings or whatever it was, 6 innings of relief against the National League best team is going to get you paid. Walker Bueller shut down the Yankees and then was like, hold my beer, I'll close this one out 2 days later. It was like the Chris Sale effect. You know, bring in the guy who you trust because either the closer doesn't have it, in which the Dodgers didn't have a closer. Evan Phillips was out. He was done. He had shoulder fatigue and he was done. So for this one, I mean, yeah, Walker Bueller, you mentioned the Tigers. I think you mentioned the Mets too, Nick, right? Yeah. So it wouldn't surprise me if a team like that gives him the deal. Steve over here on the list says Braves of the four. Two people say Tigers. One says Guardians. I don't think the Guardians are there, and I don't think he's going to waste his time in Detroit. I think the Braves are interesting. The Mets are very interesting. But it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, even like a sleeper, even if the Yankees come in and try to get somebody like Walker Bueller, that wouldn't surprise me either. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens with this situation. He's definitely going to be one to watch for sure.
So I wouldn't be interested in a multi-year deal, and I would do it on a 1 year deal. And if I'm Walker Bueller, he's only going to be 30 next year. I might take a 1 year deal if I'm Walker Bueller to reestablish my value and then hit the market next winter and then get a 5 or 6 year deal like Max Fried is trying to do at age 31. That's what I would want. And I just, his injury history is just too extensive for me to want to do a multi-year deal on. I just feel like I'm going to get burnt. But I would take a chance on 1 year, but I'm going to qualify that with we're also going after someone else. We're going after Fried, or we're making a trade. We're going to get Crochet or something like that. Then I would absolutely be interested in a Walker Buehler type deal. And he had that one bad postseason start against the Padres, and he was terrible last year in the regular season. ERA well north of five. It took him a while to find his groove, and he did in the postseason, and had two scoreless starts, and then he came out in the final game of the World Series in relief, also scoreless. So he's a veteran, you know, he's a talented pitcher. In previous seasons, he was my pick to win the National League Cy Young. Didn't quite get there either time, but still a guy that I would have coveted a few years ago, and I'll take that chance on him on a 1 year deal. He's got a newly rebuilt elbow as well. So I'm not worried about that. But 1 year only, and that's all I want. If not, let someone else take the risk. Any more thoughts on Buehler? No? Okay. 36 on the list. Kyle Higashioka. He's projected to get a 2-year, $15 million deal. The writers have him going to the Padres, Rays, Marlins, and the Rays again, between the four writers. Not an obvious fit for the Red Sox, but a nice piece for whoever gets him. But Charlie, what are your thoughts?
Well, everybody knows how much I hate the GM for the Padres. I think he's a piece of garbage, just a horrible human being. But this is going to go down as one of the best trades that he ever made. You've got Michael King, Drew Thorpe, Randy Velasquez, him, and they got Soto, and I forget the other outfield. He's a bum, though. Hold on. I think it's Grisham.
Yeah, it was Grisham.
Yeah, it's Trent Grisham. Yeah. He's just awful. One of the biggest fleece jobs ever, because there's a good chance that Juan Soto doesn't come back, and they got all that. Higashioka is going to be worth that contract, and I would love to see him in Boston as like the other catching option if we're not going to bring up our guy. And you put him back behind the plate with Connor Wong. I'm not hating that for $15 million over 2 years, but I don't think that it's going to be Boston getting it done. So, yeah, it could be the Rays. It could be the Padres again bringing him back. It wouldn't surprise me for him to go back to San Diego. They might even give him a little bit more money.
Go ahead, Nick.
I want him. 17 homers and 260 at bats last year, I think, in San Diego, which is a big ballpark. And I think if you put him in Fenway Park, give him 300 at bats, I think he can hit 20. I think he can replicate it. He's not going to get on base a lot. He's a better defender than Connor Wong. I think he's an upgrade there. I think if you have to put Connor Wong in a package, I think Kyle Higashioka is great for a year this year, and then Kyle Teal next year. And then you just platoon him. I don't know. I think he'd be a great fit here, and I think he's an upgrade over Connor Wong.
Absolutely, defensively an upgrade. And yeah, so you stole my thunder a little bit. You could move Wong in a trade. I don't know how coveted he's going to be this year if Breslow is fielding any calls at all on Wong. He's definitely a plus bat, Connor Wong, but you could also slide Wong into a utility position if you don't want to keep a guy like Romy Gonzalez. Let's say you could utilize Wong in a number of different ways and still bring in Higashioka, but I just think more sooner than later Kyle Teal will be the guy getting the bulk of the starts, probably in the second half. So it's a tough fit, but Higashioka, he's going to be coveted. Teams are going to pursue him, and he's probably not going to be on the free agent market for very long. So we'll see what happens, but just not a fit for the Red Sox based on the timing of the guys that we have. number, let's see, 35 on the list. That is going to be, this is an interesting one. It's tough to make it work, but Paul Goldschmidt is projected to get a one-year $15 million deal. Had a bit of a drop-off this year with the St. Louis Cardinals, but the writers have him going to the Astros Diamondbacks, which would be a kind of a homecoming should he go there if they don't bring back Christian Walker. The Tigers and, again, the Diamondbacks again. So two writers have him going to the Diamondbacks. Charlie, thoughts?
Yeah, don't want him. We already have a first baseman, and it's for a fraction of the cost. And you know what? Let him go to Houston. They did a real number on their last one. They sent him packing after a couple months. They DFA'd their first baseman that they signed to a two-year deal, former White Sox standout. And so, yeah, I don't think we need to spend that money there. I mean, all the areas that we're going to be spending money, it needs to be in a smart way. And spending money on a guy who's declining with numbers don't lie. So, I mean, you're dropping off. All of your numbers have dropped off over the last 3-4 years. Batting average has gone down. RBIs have gone down. Doubles have gone down. Hits have gone down. Runs scored have gone down. Even, you know, just his on base percentage, just everything has gone down. So I'm out on him. Done. No thanks.
Nick.
Realistically, no, but there's a weird feeling that it's like, I feel like he can hit 30 bombs again at Fenway Park if you just stuck him at DH and got rid of Yoshida. Like, I think it could fit if you really thought about it, but it's not going to happen. And he probably is done, you know, he's 37 years old, but he's a borderline Hall of Famer. And I feel like Fenway Park could help him a little bit if he got in here and got hot again and hit like 30 bombs. And I don't think it'll happen, but I think there's a tiny bit of a fit. So I don't think it's impossible, but no, I don't think it will. And I would like him to go back to the Diamondbacks. That'd be cool.
Yeah, it would be a cool kind of homecoming. I think Paul Goldschmidt could come to Fenway and have a bigger impact than what Mitch Moreland had, you know. But it's just the timing isn't right. You do have Tristan Casas. I think Casas could get moved. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it'll happen, but it could. And then if you do get rid of Yoshida, there's your pathway in. He is a righty. You do need to get right-handed, balanced. 22 home runs last year. That's not nothing. And I think the St. Louis Cardinals, a lot of the players on that roster are sick of playing for the St. Louis Cardinals. Just a team that just doesn't really, they don't really commit to winning each winter. You would think they'd be a bigger market team than they are. I mean, St. Louis is a great baseball town, but it's more of a mid-market team. They don't invest a ton of money in it. They did go out and get Sonny Gray last year, so I guess that's significant. But they just kind of underachieve, and the Brewers have been really the team to beat the last several years in the Central. And I think Goldschmidt has one more borderline all-star type season left. I just don't think it's going to be with Boston.
I kind of want him. I kind of.
Nick's talking himself into it as we go.
Just get rid of Yoshida and give Goldschmidt a chance. Maybe he can put back to another MVP season. Who knows? Obviously, he's not like option one, but I can kind of see it working.
He was the MVP as recently as 2022. I just want to see his career splits real quick if I can pull those up.
You never know.
I just want to see how he hits against lefties. I'm guessing he hits pretty good on both sides of the plate. So career against lefties. Wow, what do you think his batting average is against lefties?
288
over his career. 323.
Yeah, sign him.
Right-handed, surprisingly, he doesn't hit quite as well, but still pretty well. 279. And wow, he's got a 424 on base in his career against lefties. So
He's only 38 homers away from 400 in his career. That could happen this year at Fenway.
He would put 36 of them right in the monster. Charlie's like, Charlie can feel it slipping away right now. But yeah, we'll see. Just not a fit. You got to get rid of Yoshida, and Casas is the guy, you know, for now. So fun guy to think about. A guy I would have loved to have had here, you know, in the prime of his career. Yeah, Charlie says 4 years ago.
He won MVP 2 years ago.
Yeah, two years ago, Charlie.
Yeah, but this is like the baseball players are not like fine wine. They don't get better with time. They get worse. And if he ends up being done in June with like 9 or 10 home runs, we're going to be revisiting this conversation, and it's going to have a different taste to it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm ready to go to the next one. Next victim.
Yeah.
This next one could be an interesting one, actually. AJ Minter, who has spent the bulk of his career, maybe even all of it, with the Atlanta Braves. All of it. Mm-hmm. Okay. He's more of like an eighth inning guy, I think. But 2 years, $16 million. So that's what we gave Chris Martin for comparison. He's projected to go to, according to the writers, the Mets, Cubs, Dodgers, and Phillies. So all big market teams expected to be in play for him. And he is a lefty. Charlie,
any perfect interest? Absolutely. You took the words out of my mouth. 2 years, $16 million. He's 31 years old. Didn't play as much as he wanted to, obviously, this year because he did spend some time on the IL. But yeah, I'm willing to make an exception for somebody like him just based on the fact that he's been a consistent guy year in and year out. If you look at his numbers, he's never had anything crazy, crazy outlandish outside of that 2019 year. He's always been, you know, a low threes ERA guy. He's going to come out. He'll get you a couple saves, but he's going to lock it down in the eighth inning. He also does not give up a lot of home runs. So that's another big deal. I would be willing to give him 2 years, $16 million, but there will be another team that probably gives him $15, $16 million. That's probably more built for October, and I think he's going to want to play for a team like that. It wouldn't surprise me if he goes back to Atlanta for, you know, a two-year deal in that $15, $16 million scope. Dodgers being on that list does not surprise me. Mets does not surprise me. Phillies does not surprise me. Cubs a little bit, but we'll see. I mean, I thought the Cubs were going to be a lot better this year. We'll see.
Nick.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I'll take him 2 years, $16 million, but I agree with you, Charlie. I think a team will give him more than that, and I really think he will end up on the Braves. As long as they give him, like, they match an offer, I think the Braves will sign him. You know, I think that's where he loves being. He won a World Series there. He was a big part of that World Series. You know, he would be a great fit on the Red Sox. I just think another team will sign him. And I don't think – I just don't see Breslow signing A.J. Minter for 2 years, $20 million. I mean, I think he'd rather just bargain shop for – mid-level relievers that he hopes he can get better, or he'd rather go buy the big name just to wow everybody. But I don't think AJ Minter's coming here either, but I would love him. I think he'd be great. You know, again, Tanner Scott's the dream, but AJ Minter would be a good second choice or third choice at the moment. So I wouldn't mind him.
I don't disagree with either one of you. I would certainly take him on that deal. He's could very well have another solid 4 or 5 years remaining, you know, in his career. And like a lot of these guys on the list, who knows, maybe a decade. You know, there's some older pitchers here still pitching very well. Just to play devil's advocate on something, I don't know if Breslow is going to give, you know, a player, a reliever in the neighborhood of $16 million over 2 years, but you go back to his deadline moves, he whiffed bad. I mean, Luis Garcia didn't work out. Lucas Sims didn't work out. If you want more of a sure thing, you know, AJ Minter is the guy. And you're really I shouldn't say you're lacking in veterans, because Liam Hendricks is certainly a veteran. But it wouldn't hurt to have another, you know, similar type presence in that bullpen and even in the clubhouse. So I wouldn't rule it out. I don't think it's the craziest thing ever that they could go get him. But if other teams need a lefty, you know, like some of the ones mentioned, the Mets, the Phillies, I mean, I could see Dave Dombrowski being really aggressive for a guy like Minter, and he's going to be a guy that's difficult to compete with, because, you know, Dombrowski, if he wants him, he's going to do everything in his power to make it happen. But if the bidding doesn't get too crazy, I mean, it wouldn't shock me if the Red Sox were competitive for him. But it might take a third year. Who knows? And at that point, I don't know if I'm still in at that point. That's a long time for a reliever. Well, okay. Moving up, we're kind of moving through in a pretty good clip here. We got three left. Number 33 on the list, Max Scherzer, who I think is entering his age 39 season, 39 or even 40, actually. 40. Okay. He's projected to get a 1-year, $16 million deal. The writers have him going back to the Tigers, the Yankees, the Dodgers, and the Phillies. So all relatively big market teams, according to the trade rumors writers. Charlie, you interested?
Terry, no, I'm not. No looking. How many years has he had more innings pitched than strikeouts? And he's pitched 17 years.
Not many. I mean, he's a high strikeout guy.
That's correct. That's very correct. The answer is three.
Okay.
2024 was the third time he did it. The last time that he did it was back in 2011. So it's been 13 years that he had that swing. I can't justify paying $60 million for a guy who's going to give you James Paxton-esque number season as far as like games played. And yeah, he'll strike out more guys. ERA will be a lot better. But you're going to be getting a guy who wants to just pitch in Boston for the sake of pitching in Boston? Why wouldn't he want to go to a team that's got a little bit more built? Until I see this team actually like invest and really like give it the full beans here, I don't think we're going to be able to track even the older names, because I wouldn't give him $16 million, but you know, the Dodgers could give him $8 or $9 million. He'd say yes to $9 million to the Dodgers because it's the Dodgers right now. The Red Sox would have to overpay to have him come play here. So me personally, I can't, you know, honestly say that anything over $12 million would be a smart amount of money. He's not going to be getting, you know, as it said again, he's not going to be getting that crazy $43 million annual average value that, you know, he and Verlander both got in New York. But maybe there's a team out there that thinks he's worth $16 million to like coach the younger guys. I can't see it happen.
Nick.
Max Scherzer's a Hall of Famer, but I want him nowhere near this baseball team. I don't care how much money you give him. Anything more than $1 million is too much. He's done. He's 40 years old. If he comes back and has the Chris Sale type season, good for him, but it's not happening. It's definitely not happening in Fenway Park. It's not happening for this Red Sox team, and it should not happen for this Red Sox team. Go out, sign a better pitcher. Sign a guy that's under 40 years old, please. Not Max Scherzer. I know he's a Hall of Famer. I know it would be cool to have him on a team for a year, but he's not going to give you more than like 100 innings, and he's probably going to have a 4-year ERA. His velocity is dipping. His stuff isn't spinning as much. He's done. He's 40 years old. He needs to probably get one more year. He's going to retire, and he's going to go in the Hall of Fame as a actually probably a Washington National. I don't know, but he is not going to be a Boston Red Sox. I don't think he has any intention to be a Boston Red Sox. I don't think the Red Sox want him. I don't want him. So that's all I have to say.
We should have signed him 10 years ago when he was a free agent, and we could have, and we chose not to. But yeah, I mean, he didn't make his first start of the year last year until June 23rd, you know, just not healthy. Only made 9 starts altogether, 43 in a third innings. Strikeouts are down less than 1 per inning. the dude was literally a psychopath his whole career. He'd go out on the mound, he would be possessed, he would, you know, it'd be a battle of wits where he was simply imposing his will on his opponents and just really pushing his body to the max, no pun intended. And it's caught up to him. You know, a guy like Justin Verlander was a little bit smarter throughout his career and pitched very well for, you know, I think he won a Cy Young in his age 39 or 40 season. And I think Verlander's also cooked. He's not a guy I would be interested in at this point. A team with a, you know, an already deep rotation would be interested maybe in a Scherzer or Verlander type guy, but the Red Sox, we need to get away from that. You guys mentioned James Paxton. I mean, it's very well could be a Corey Kluber type signing, where great name, great pedigree, but it's long past over for these guys. So we'll see what happens. I think Detroit makes a lot of sense, you know, a bit of a homecoming. I kind of hope he goes to Cooperstown in a Detroit hat, but you could be right. He won, what, two or three Cy Youngs with the Nationals and
in a World Series.
In a World Series, correct. So it probably will be them, but yeah, not a fit for the Red Sox either way. Next on the list, coming in at 32, kind of a semi-interesting option. Not an easy fit, but Michael Conforto is projected to get a two-year, $18 million deal. Spent the last couple of years with the Giants. He's projected to go to the Rangers, Pirates, Blue Jays, or Royals. The Royals could be an interesting one for him. They could use some upgrades, and that could be a short-term fix for them. But Charlie, any interest in Boston for a guy like Conforto?
No, I mean, we have enough left-handed bats right now. We don't need another one, especially one that's got injury-prone problems. And we already have corner outfielders that can handle the job. And I don't see Michael Conforto being a needle mover. So I'm passing on Conforto. Keep it short and sweet. No thanks.
Michael Conforto does nothing better than Willie Abreu. So at this point, there's no need for him. I might rather have Masataka Yoshida. Actually, no, I wouldn't. But there's no reason for Michael Conforto to even be meeting with the Red Sox. There's no reason for the Red Sox to even be thinking about him. They have too many lefties. They have too many outfielders. Michael Conforto makes zero sense, and I don't think he will be coming to the Red Sox. I think the Royals or the Pirates would be great for him, though. Two teams that need offensive upgrades, and I think he'd be a decent hitter on those teams.
Yeah, I mean, the Royals definitely need to add a couple of bats. That was they had great pitching all the way through the season and even into October. But yeah, Conforto did hit 20 home runs last year. Didn't hit great for average, just 237 with a slightly above average 759 OPS. But again, just the injury problems would scare me away from bringing a guy like him in. So hard pass there as well. All right, last name on the list. This one, I don't know. This is somewhat of an interesting name, I would say. Jose Quintana had a resurgence the last couple of years of his career. He's projected to get a two-year, $20 million deal. He's projected to go. Surprised that all these teams are picking here. The writers have him going to the Athletics, White Sox, Reds, and Tigers. I think he'd be valued by, you know, better teams. But Charlie, any interest in Quintana?
No, I mean, this is a guy who, again, you know, you remembered for your last couple of appearances, and he got absolutely destroyed against the Dodgers. And granted, it is the Dodgers. They're one of the better teams out there, but I think we could do far better than getting somebody like this. I do think that Quintana will get paid. There'll be a team out there that wants to give him a couple years. He is on the older side, though, because Jose Quintana is 35, right? almost 36 years old. So he's not young anymore, but, you know, he's a journeyman. He's been with four or five different clubs in his career minimum. I remember him in Chicago. He's played with the Cubs. He's played with the Mets. He's played with the Pirates. So
Pirates,
he's
teams right there. Both Chicago teams.
Yeah. I remember he played for both Chicago's. He went from one to the other. I remember that. But I just like, no, it's not enough of a needle move for me. And they're thinking he's going to get 2 years, $20 million. Even if the Red Sox gave him 2 years, $20 million, again, I'm going to follow the same thing. There's going to be another team that gives him 2 for $20 or 2 for $22, and he'll end up going there instead. He's just not going to be someone that I think can really be the guy in Boston. We already have a 5-starter. We don't need another one.
Nick, go ahead.
I think the only positive for him is he's left-handed. They do need a left-handed starter. I wouldn't mind him if he was like the third starter that the Red Sox acquired, but he's not a priority. He's not a guy anywhere near the top of my list. I'm not going to say probably 8 starters out there that I prefer over him, righty or lefty. You know, I don't want to name them all off the top of my head, but Crochet, Lizardo are two guys I would rather trade for. Freed, Burns, almost all the free agent pitchers out there. I'd rather have Walker Buehler. Maybe. I don't know. If it's a 1-year deal for Walker Buehler, I think I'd rather have Walker Buehler than 2 years for Quintana. But yeah, I just think he would be great as like a third starter. But if he's one of the top 2 starters acquired this offseason, it's a very bad offseason. So I don't want him.
This is one of those moves where if Bloom was the guy right now, we're all saying, no, absolutely not. I'm not interested. But then by February, you're begging for him if he's still out there. Yeah, I mean, he did pitch 170 innings last year. That's nice. He's not a high punch out guy that, you know, if you've listened to the show long enough, that's what I covet. Just a 7.1 strikeout per 9. He did have a major uptick this year in home runs given up. He gave up 22 this past season compared to 5 the previous season, kept him in the park, and he pitched both of those seasons with the Mets. So it wasn't like it was a change in ballparks. Got torched in the playoffs. I mean, he's a guy that'll eat innings for you for sure, and some teams would value that, but hopefully the bar is set a little bit higher and we get someone. Max Fried is the guy. He's my top free agent that I want. And, you know, and then trade for a guy like Crochet and suddenly you're back, you know, you're back in a big way, as far as pitching goes. But Quintana again, doesn't really move the needle for me. I think he'd be great with the Atlanta Braves. I think that would be a good fit for him. Maybe the Orioles, if they have trouble attracting other starting pitchers. But he's definitely serviceable, but I'm just kind of hoping the bar is set a little bit higher. So, yeah. But any final thoughts before we wrap? No? Okay. Yeah, so we'll wrap on that. We're going to be back on Tuesday. There's some speculation that Devers can go to first base and that perhaps we could target a Nolan Arenado-type guy. The other thing nobody's talking about is what happens to Tristan Casas in that situation. So that's one scenario we will be getting into. You would think some things might start to develop and some of these guys will get moved, but we'll see what happens. But everyone, have a great start to your week. Take care.